This is CliffCentral.com.
I like it. That's it's a very sexy song. It's Moolah Vegas with Stay Woke. All right. You ready for your Friday to get going? Ooh. Get started. Start to become more fun. Get a little crazy. Maybe you're doing something insane this weekend. I completely forgot that tomorrow is Freedom Day.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I was genuinely shocked as well.
Really?
I think it's because, you know, we often think about public holidays, as horrible as it sounds. We think about them when we get the day off.
Yeah, of course.
During the week.
Yeah, so if you don't get the day off, you don't think about it at all.
But it's actually...
I hate that it's, if it falls on a Saturday, you don't get the bonus of it. I've said a million times, I'm going to say it again, the idea of public holidays, we need to come up with a new system. We need to separate the 12 public holidays, one into every month, which means at the end of every month, you get a long weekend. It would do the economy the world of good. We would be able to put billions back into South Africa's economy immediately, because you wouldn't have these stupid Wednesday public holidays like next week and the week after, where it interrupts people, it stops people from going to work, they take off way more time than they should. It's a serious impediment to our growth. And everybody would spend more on the long weekends if you had one every month. Just think about it. One long weekend every month. For people who could afford it, that could mean a holiday. For people who just need a break, it would mean you wouldn't be burnt out. It would be forced leave in the right way. That's the point of public holidays. We've got to stop this crap of doing what the calendar says.
Yeah.
Just put each public holiday somewhere in the month. At the end of every month, that takes care of Christmas. Forget about the rest, honestly. If you're gonna take religious holidays, you take those in your own time. You take that as leave. I don't see why that you know, should only cover Christians. Uh-huh. Don't you think?
Well, that's the reason why I've considered on many occasions to become Jewish.
Just so you can get the Jewish holiday?
I just remember being in school and we had those diaries with all of the religious holidays.
Yeah.
Like if you're Hindu, this is what you can take off. If you're Christian, this is what you can take off.
You know, first of all, the Jews don't want you, see?
They must take me. I remember flipping through that diary, not even kidding, there were three pages of Jewish holidays. And I thought, this is the bad mamma jamma. This is the cool kids club I need to be part of. But since we're talking about Freedom Day tomorrow, I forgot to mention this over the long weekend. I was sitting around at a friend's place in the south, and we thought, you know, we have nothing much to really do. And we decided to go to the Apartheid Museum.
Oh, yeah?
And I've never been before.
It's quite jarring if you haven't ever been there before and if you don't remember the history. And listen, even history students don't remember it. You see those movies from the World Trade Center with the Avia beer. You see the negotiations at Kodesa.
Can I tell you?
Oh.
Yes, it's absolutely sobering and it's heavy to carry. But I left there feeling more... I wouldn't use optimistic, but I felt more at ease with the state of the country and where we're going. Like, okay. I didn't find it depressing. It actually, for me, allowed me to have this perspective of saying, my goodness, look at how far we've come.
Right.
And I will be the first to also add that I don't think we've progressed as much as we could have in the past, you know, 25 years of our democracy.
Sure.
But it was fascinating. Right now, they're currently running two amazing exhibitions, because apart from the museum, they interchange some of the exhibitions that they have. Mm-hmm. And the one focused on Madiba, naturally, but it really went into his... Madiba as a person, including, you know, they have some of his mementos there. They have a card that he was given by Mercedes-Benz South Africa when he was released. And this was a car that the employees of the company actually went to their superior saying, Madiba's released from prison. We want to do something for him. And we want to make a car for him from scratch. And we'll do this in our own spare time. And we don't want the company to pay for. So it's little things like that where you go, oh my goodness, it was a man and it's so amazing. And there were handwritten notes from him and between Winnie as well, personal family
photos.
That's
amazing. You know, I sometimes forget that these museums have these rotating exhibitions, which are different to the usual installations. And you miss out because you think, oh, well, I've been there before. But actually, it's worth going again and again.
Yeah.
I do often send overseas visitors who come here, friends of mine from other countries. I send them there. Oh, I take them myself sometimes. And I haven't been for years, to be perfectly honest. So it may have changed a huge amount since I was last there. But it does give you a kind of historical overview of why our current situation is so important in the light of what we've been through.
Mm.
Yeah, very good point, Sia. Thank you.
It was
Sia with a word of, you want to spend the weekend in a meaningful way, go to the Apartheid Museum.
Honestly, the fact that sometimes you have to be a tourist in your own city. I think a ticket is like 100 rand. You really walk in there, you take your own time, but it takes certain messages home,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really shift your perspective. I loved in the Mandela exhibition being able to see a clip of Madiba going to rescue, no, I won't use the word rescue, but going to bail out Winnie in prison. And it's like, oh my goodness, they were a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from, yes, they were trying to change the country and they were political, but it was just a husband at the end of the day going to check on his wife. And there was a bit of a scuffle in the prison with authorities because Madiba was saying, no, I'm not going to leave here without her. You know, I just want to make sure she is okay. And there were photographers who started swarming him. There were people who were chanting his name. And he very politely was saying, thank you, but this is not the time. Because he was just very focused on Winnie. And I thought that was such a sweet moment. So apart from walking around the entire museum, the second exhibition that I absolutely loved was called Damaged, I think. It's by a photographer who was covering some of the fights that were happening in the country during that time and had lost his reel of photos, the actual film, and now they've just been recovered, but they have some water damage to it. So if you're into art and contrast and all of that, it's quite interesting to see how these water damage photos now are. But yeah, as someone who's never been, I think it really opened my eyes. It wasn't depressing. You really walk out there thinking, shucks, we can do better.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks, yeah.
So in line of Freedom Day tomorrow, let's be better humans.
Let's turn our attention to a few other things. Apparently Ford, shame they really can't catch a break here. The company have had problems. You remember they used to have those Cougars that would catch fire.
Yeah.
Was it the Ford Cougar?
Yeah, you were just minding your own business, driving down the street.
And they had to recall a whole bunch of those and replace certain parts, and they discovered that there was a problem. But Ford owners have for some time now been complaining about locks that are apparently easy pickings for criminals. So ENCA actually had a little clip where they filmed a couple of these cars in a parking lot.
Certain older EcoSport and Fiesta vehicles that are being targeted by criminals.
By the way, this is the guy is speaking for Ford about which particular models. So if you've got these are the ones that are being targeted.
Aware of certain older EcoSport and Fiesta vehicles that are being targeted by criminals. In some breakings, we find that the alarm does not sound, although the immobilizer is still active. We are also looking at the security systems in our other Ford models.
Okay, so those are the ones you need to look out for. But they really needed this like a hole in the head.
Yeah, that's a guy whose job I do not envy at all. So the entire issue right now is in those particular models that were named, the Ford EcoSport and the Ford Fiesta, the alarm doesn't sound. So criminals now know this and they're able to, and there has been a series of a lot of these hijackings or break-ins into these cars because criminals know we can break the window and there won't be a buzz and so no attention will be called onto this. Ford has just said that in their official statement, they say, we regret the inconvenience to our customers, you don't say, and we will soon launch the following enhancements. Firstly, if the vehicle already had the alarm, we will make sure it sounds when the key lock is tampered with. And then if the vehicle does not have a standard alarm, we will offer one as an accessory, which will go off when the lock is tampered with.
Well, you know, that's really impressive. I mean, you can complain about them and say, oh, well, it's unacceptable. But here they are offering to sort out the problem for people.
Well, they have to, for their reputation outside.
Do they have to? I think it's great when a company does this, and nobody's forcing them. There's no gun to their head. There's no court order. They're doing it because they know it's the right thing to do. And I appreciate people who take responsibility. So kudos to Ford.
that's probably a new model that
maybe
they have.
Maybe Ford Kudos.
The Ford Kudo after the Ford Cougar.
They give these cars ridiculous names. What did I see the other day? A Duster. And I was like, what kind of a car is a Duster? Right? I don't even know what it is. Hyundai Getz. What is Getz?
With a Z, not an S.
Getz, you going.
You with a Z.
Matiz. What is that? What is a Matiz?
Picanto.
Picanto.
I even but that's sweet. I like that.
What's the other one? That no one in this country could pronounce properly. What's that place called in America?
Nevada.
No. It's like a desert place, but I'm trying to think of what the name is. And everybody pronounces it incorrect. Tucson, oh. Arizona. Tucson. I'm driving in my Tucson and I hit a pothole.
But Shane, what alternative does Ford have? They have to do something like this because already their reputation with, I'd say, a large chunk of customers isn't exactly the greatest.
No, I think that they react quickly. They react as soon as they find out there's a problem. They replace at their own cost, which is only right. And they sort the thing out, largely. You don't hear complaints afterwards because people get their things sorted out. And unless they're a serial complainer and people are finding things to do and finding things for Ford to do all the time, usually the problem seems to resolve itself. But, and they're a very responsible manufacturer. They can't help it that occasionally there are faults. There are sometimes faults. We put up a podcast and sometimes it cuts out halfway through for no good reason. We don't understand why. Then we have to reload it. I mean, every business has some bakeries sometimes put out, 17,000 loaves of bread, and then the 17,001 loaf of bread is a half size. Yeah, sometimes humans make children. Three out of four of the family are fine, and then one of the children's a complete dud. It's a disaster.
I don't like this example because there are, four of us at home, so what are you trying to say?
Well, they stopped after you. That's all I'm saying, Sia. They were happy to carry on until you came along. Then your parents were like, that's it. Factory's closed.
This is what happens.
Shut down. We'll offer a refund to all the other three.
Oh, shame. Thanks. That makes you feel delightful on a Friday morning. But this is all... I love how swift they have been with dealing with all of this because this saga all came to be just a little over a week ago. And interestingly so, how it came to light was at a shopping mall in the same night in one parking lot where three Fords were parked and all three of those Fords were broken into. And people are now like, what's going on here? But yeah, the company went straight out and confirming that there is a technical fault and they started looking into it to now their most recent statement saying that they will look into things and they'll mend.
So someone has loaded up a bunch of pictures of Durban Harbour full of litter. That's because with all the flooding, all that litter has been pushed down hills and out of places and into, obviously it all ends up in the sea, right? And you cannot believe this blanket of filth and litter and plastic and just crap that the filthy people of Durban have been throwing down on the ground for probably the last 20 years, and now it's all sitting in the harbor. So good luck with that, you disgusting, dirty, filthy people who put that litter there in the first place. And it goes all the way out, by the way. So if you want to see that, I'll retweet it. It's just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And it just shows you, people will talk about how they deserve dignity. But if you don't even have the dignity to clean up around you, you don't deserve anyone else's dignity, frankly. So that's the truth. And people have just got to come to terms with that. You're never going to get respect unless you have respect for yourself. And respect for yourself includes not living like a pig.
Mm. Can we talk about disgusting of a different kind now?
Sure.
Coachella, the music festival, right?
Love this.
Where the cool kids are, where all the fun is happening with all of the musicians. It's always a little over 2 weeks long, but they're 2 weekends of the major performances. And this year, because Coachella has just wrapped, there was an unwanted guest of a different kind at Coachella at the music festival.
Yeah.
And the guest name is Herpes.
Yeah, so what's happened is that obviously people are having a lot of sex and kissing each other, and there's a lot of physical contact at this festival.
Oh, clearly they're doing more than kissing if there's so many herpes cases.
This is kind of why people go to festivals, I suppose. But they didn't expect to get herpes, did they?
Not at freaking all. There is a new board. Well, it's not a new board. It's a board called Herp Alert. Yes, such an exert. Such an organization does exist.
Alert.
But they are the board who overlooks, I guess, and deals with herpes cases in the California area. Uh-huh. And they usually say in the Southern California area, they typically handle about 12 cases a day. But ever since Coachella this year, mm-hmm. they've now had to deal with a whopping 1,105 cases of herpes alone over the past 2 weeks. And these have all been reported in areas around the Coachella Valley region. So clearly people were enjoying the music at Coachella and they were clearly enjoying themselves. But it's pretty obvious that there was someone there who was going around spreading the herp.
That is hilarious. Hilarious. All right, so if you've gone to a music festival recently, you might want to have yourself checked for herpes.
What souvenir did you come back from from at Coachella?
Hello, honey. Herpes. Your dad and mom are standing at the door after you've been at Coachella and been there with your other 17-year-old friends. Mm. Get home, you're like, hey, mom, hey, dad. Hey, honey, how was Coachella? Great. Don't kiss me.
Yeah, just don't.
What is
don't
that on your
it.
Lip? It's a blister. Yeah, right.
This results to about 250 cases of herpes a day over the stretch of Coachella. This is the largest of its kind, the largest herpes outbreak. Do you want to know how interestingly so, the second largest herpes outbreak in California specifically.
Uh-uh.
It happened at the Oscars weekend of 2018.
Yeah,
60 cases reported a day over that Oscars weekend.
Filthy, dirty Hollywood elites banging each other's brains out.
And spreading herpes. This is nasty.
It's nasty. All right, so it's time for your Bachelor update. I know a lot of people are very big on The Bachelor. It's only the most interesting show that has been on terrestrial TV in like 2 years, so people actually are interested for a change. How many people are left here?
Three ladies were left. And
last night, okay.
Yes, and as we discussed last week, it's Yazan, mm-hmm. who is the Afrikaans girl from Pretoria.
Blonde, yeah,
yes.
She's a bit of a poppy, but she's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And, you know, her family is sweet as well. That's who we got to meet last week. There's Gina, the makeup artist.
Right,
we Reva like Steenkamp's best friend.
Right.
And then there's Michelle Reddy, who is the belle of the ball, and everyone loves her.
Do you want to hear what... here's Michelle
well, R. Let's save that. Let's save that. Sorry. Spoiler alert, right? Well, the three of them headed to Mauritius with Lee. And they all had a collective of about 3 days in Mauritius overall. They stayed at this amazing resort, and it was just a little awkward in the beginning because to think about traveling and to think about then, you know, you have to make this trek with, yes, this person who you say you love. This is from the ladies' perspective. They say they love Lee, it's amazing. But then you're also dealing with these two extras who are just like, on the side and they're just annoying you.
Right.
It's interesting because one of the ladies for the first time says that you don't completely know how he is with other girls, which makes it tough for you to be vulnerable. This is Gina who said it. And as weird as it sounds, but I think that's quite true because you don't know what happens on the other dates. Maybe Lee's totally obsessed with you.
Yeah.
More than he is with the other girls.
Or maybe he's the same with all three of you, in which case, what makes you special?
Yeah.
You know?
But long story short, who was the first one to go on a date yesterday? It was Gina who started things off. And Gina hadn't... Sorry. I'm all over the place. Yazan was...
You're so excited. I love how much you care about this show.
No, I actually made notes. This is how seriously I take this.
You know what,
yes.
Can I tell you? Just give us the basics. We don't need to go into
Do you want
detail.
The juiciness? Okay, yeah. So they all had adventure dates with Lee, which meant that they spent a full day with Lee and going around Mauritius. So Gina and Lee went on
like
some...
every middle-class South African couple's honeymoon. Not really. That's what it...
Yes.
Where are you going for your Where your honeymoon? Mauritius. Okay.
Some romance there.
Mauritius, beautiful.
Gina and Lee went ziplining. Yazan and Lee went paddleboarding. And while they were there, I'm not even going to try to do Leanne's take on Yazan's accent because that's amazing in and of itself. But Yazan says, Lee, I know you wanted to do this. You wanted to go paddleboarding so that you can see my bum. I don't know. Take it or leave it.
Great.
And then Michelle R. and Lee went on their date. Wasn't exactly much of an adventure day as it was just Michelle R. saying, yeah, I like you, but I still feel like it's a bit of an issue that I don't really know how you feel about me. And I also can't open up to you as easily because I don't really know where we stand.
Where?
Yeah. But Yazan and Lee, from my perspective, seem the most comfortable with each other. Whenever they spend time together, they're in each other's arms. They're just chilling. And I think
from Pretoria, that's why.
Maybe that's where they're common. And I think the true mark of being comfortable with someone is when you can just sit in silence with them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And Yazan and Lee have that. And so at the end of it all, there was a rose ceremony. It was quite intense because now these are really like, I think, the common favorites we've all had throughout the season. They're very strong contenders, Yazan, Michelle, and Gina. And it got down to Yazan was called first and got a rose.
Yes, okay, so she's in.
She didn't seem as excited as I thought she would be. And Yazan is on your list. Yes. Then Gina was called.
Also on my list. And what happened?
Gina got a rose, which means Michelle R. on Leanne's list is off.
So I don't just win, I win.
So it's quite clear that you, without watching the series, without being invested, you got the two strongest contenders, and clearly you are the winner. One of the two on your list is
right,
going
so
to walk away.
Do you want to hear what Michelle R. had to say?
By the way,
I did kind of spoil it for you, but there
yeah, Michelle R. we know has this whimsy fairy tale girl. She always sounds like she's speaking.
Seems to have come from a family with a lot of money. She seems like a very together, very polished girl. She's not spoiled. She's quite, you know,
refined.
Yeah, she's quite refined. She's definitely got no rough edges. I mean, Jazan has got some rough edges. Let's not mess around.
We like her. She feels like she
so here's
like
Michelle.
She could
Michelle, ready? Listen to this. There she is.
I've loved and I've lost.
Oh.
Tonight.
And she's crying.
I love and I gain. I gain self-love.
Oh my God. All right, she would drive me about like 5 minutes in her company. I'd be like, you know what? This is hard work. You're a very, very beautiful girl, but this is too much.
Doesn't she speak
Thank
in
you.
Poetry?
Ay, ay, ay.
And this is like every single time she says anything. It's always some great
Keats
philosophical
and,
thing.
Keats and Byron are doing somersaults in their graves. Mm. I loved and I lost. I loved and I gained.
Yes.
I gained self-love.
Love with friends. Friends that I'll have for a lifetime. I stand here happy tonight, because for the first time in a long time, Michelle Reddy stands here,
I love it when people refer to themselves in the third person. That's just fantastic.
And I know you always love a good piano.
Oh yeah, the piano
behind
song.
A sob story.
It's essential. Come on, Sia, don't you know how they do TV? This is how dumb people who watch this stuff are. They fall for it because they put a piano track in the background. And they probably scripted her lines for her, for all we know. People are like, oh my God, look how upset Michelle R. is.
Mostly we failed at love, but that's okay. I'm so grateful that in this journey, I met a guy who showed me the right way.
Yeah, the way out of the front door.
Oh. Okay.
He told you your time is up. He basically said to you, I like these two chicks more. That's not a guy who... Honey, it's a TV show. You're not going to find love on TV, and if you do, you're kind of sad. Michelle Reddy is never going to have problems finding a husband. She's better looking than 98% of all the women in South Africa. She seems to have like a very collected and sorted out and organized and together way about her. Like, her life is in a good place. She's not a mess.
But, and it's very genuine, I would like to believe. So as they were walking into the resort, she was commenting on how the resort looks, and she goes, "My first thought when I saw it was..." Yeah. WTF. I mean, sorry, pardon my language.
Yeah, she probably, like, honey, she never swears.
You didn't even say.
This chick has never said a swear word in her life.
Literally say WTF to her is like, yeah, shock horror. What horrible language.
She's very decent. She's not going to upset anybody. There is some guy, some lucky dude who doesn't even know it yet, but he's going to end up marrying her, and she's going to be the perfect wife. I can tell you now, out of all of them, if you're a guy who's in a hurry to get married, this is the girl for you. And if you are Michelle ready, you don't have to worry. There's plenty of prospects out there.
It's like, and having been on South Africa.
Exactly. Because what happens in Miss South Africa... No, it is. What happens in Miss South Africa, and what happens with TV? If you're a good-looking girl and you're on TV, some rich dude who's lonely and pathetic is going to go and empty out his bank account so that he can attract you. That's what's going to happen to her now. She's going to find some rich dude, and he's going to pay for everything for the rest of her life just to have her around as a trophy wife. And she'd probably be a very good wife. I'm not saying she'll be a vacuous, you know, decoration on the shelf. She's definitely got her own abilities and personality and all the rest of it. It's just what the way she talks about this, she's waiting for some guy to sweep her off her feet, and that's exactly what's going to happen. But it's going to be a fat, unattractive, creepy rich guy.
Hey, or it could just be an inept rich guy.
Yeah, maybe a, you know, rich guy who just doesn't
socially have, inept. Yeah,
so he'll use his money to get him to win, and that's fine. Men have been doing that for thousands of years. This is a classic, real human story, not a love story. Real human story. It's going
to
happen.
What I'd love to do as the season wraps is to somehow do the maths to find out how much time did Lee and the girls actually spend together. Because to me, it still doesn't seem like a lot.
So someone says, one of the guys says here on WhatsApp this morning, 0797482090, by the way. She's gorgeous, this girl, but fuck, I'd kill myself.
Yeah.
And then Anushka says, Lee is a hoe, sticking his tongue down everyone's throats. Those girls must go and get tested for herpes.
Yo. Look, we started off the season going, Lee's like picking these girls. Just a little pick on the
now
lips.
He's giving them already.
There was so much smoochaliciousness happening. And I like to favor myself as, you know, a body language expert in my pastime. And I think, you know, a lot of how your bodies interact says a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a kiss. It's now, you know, Lee will put like his hands on a girl's neck.
Oh,
that
yeah.
says I'm holding you close, yeah, and then yeah. run fingers through hair, and it's intense.
So all those people who were saying in the beginning he's a bit cold, they've got to take that back now. Just they needed to warm it up, you know. Sometimes these things take time,
right?
Okay, there's your Bachelor update for those of you who are hungry for that, or thirsty, as the case may be.
Now down to the two. So Gareth, well, I guess so we should take this time.
Thank you. I'll take $100 off of you and Leanne. And Ben.
Do you want to do a double or nothing?
Yeah, sure.
Who do you think will get it?
Gina.
Oh, damn it. You see, you say everything with confidence and conviction, so I actually don't want to do this with you.
Okay, double or nothing. Gina, you can have your jazz on.
I don't know.
No, you're not going to.
I'm not comfortable.
Fine, I've got, this morning, I've taken a $100 bet with Debbie Droke about Donald Trump winning the presidency next year again. I've just won $300 off of Sia and Leanne and Ben, but maybe we can make that $600. That would be nice. Okay. I'm up for it.
I'll consult the other two, and then we'll figure it out.
All right. Amal Clooney, we know who she is, right? Amal Clooney is a human rights lawyer. She's been on the UN Security Council. Here she is. I mean, this woman's really impressive. I've said it before. George Clooney, everybody thought was this playboy, and he'd never settled down, and he was going from one woman to the next, and they were all beautiful, and they all had, you know, lots going for them. Any of them would have made a really great catch, but he ended up being captivated by this really smart woman. She's accomplished in her own right. She is currently representing the Yazidi survivors. Do you remember the Yazidi people? They're the survivors of sexual violence in Iraq challenged the UN Security Council members to vote in favor of a resolution against sexual violence in conflict. The resolution passed, but only after the Trump administration threatened to veto the document over references to reproductive health, because you know that's a big political football in America.
Quite deep.
The U.S. has said such language implies support for abortions. Now, in this clip, she says, "You owe it to the thousands of women and girls who must watch ISIS members shave off their beards and go back to their normal lives, while the victims never can." So here she is at the UN talking about this.
Let us remember that the crimes committed by ISIS against women and girls are unlike anything we have witnessed in modern times. ISIS controlled territory the size of the United Kingdom and ruled over 8 million people. More than 40,000 foreign fighters from 110 countries are estimated to have joined ISIS's ranks in Iraq and Syria. But the question of bringing them to justice has barely raised a whisper. And yet, if we don't act now, it will be too late. It is time to make justice your priority, so that history can record what happened, so that we can stop it from happening again, and to truly honor survivors like Nadia, who have already suffered too much.
Yeah, there she is.
Quite deep.
Mm-hmm.
This Nadia that she references is Nadia Murad, and she's a survivor, a Yazidi survivor of genocide and of human trafficking. And so they're working together to get rape classified as a weapon of war. And Nadia Murad is actually a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. And they're saying, you know, at Nobel Peace Prize, she would trade that in a heartbeat, her exact words, for the chance to face the ISIS fighters who murdered her family and brutally and repeatedly raped her in a court of law. Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's an awful, awful story. But I'm just looking at Amal Clooney. I'm very attracted to this woman.
I knew it would go there.
Sorry, can't help it.
I knew it would go there.
apparently good news for Netflix. The Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences ruled Tuesday that it will not change the eligibility rule for the Oscars. So obviously, you know, there are rules about who's allowed to enter for certain categories at the Oscars. And Netflix were always allowed to. And then there was a suspicion, a rumor, that they would maybe change the rules for who's eligible to be nominated. And they've decided, no, they're going to stick with the current rules.
Netflix just scored a major victory in its fight for Oscar consideration. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences ruling Tuesday that it will not change its eligibility rules for the Oscars. That despite calls from some Hollywood heavyweights to do so. Under those rules, a feature-length film only needs to run for 1 week in a Los Angeles County theater to qualify for Best Picture. This means that movies released on services like Netflix and Amazon Prime do not need a wide theatrical release to be considered.
You see, that's also very old school to have a rule that says it has to be shown in a theater. I mean, most people don't go and see the movies in theaters anymore. Most people are probably watching the movies on their laptops.
True.
So I think these rules are probably outdated, and it's a good thing that they're not changing that one, but there are probably a few that they should change, right?
Like?
Well, these things around theaters. That's not how movies are taken on anymore. Anyway.
Yeah, the Academy had to do this, though, to move with the times. Otherwise, yeah, They'll just be shut out. A lot of people are saying, oh, no, Steven Spielberg was the main person behind this because, of course, he's racked up tons of awards.
Is he the heavyweight they were talking about?
Yeah, but now since he's involved in Netflix with a lot of his productions, they're saying he just wants to win now. But I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay.
Even if it is a personal thing, it's a win for all in this case.
I want to catch up with Mum Jane in a second, find out, you know, we heard that Pick It Up have tidied up the whole of Alex, they picked up all the outstanding rubbish. Find out from her. Mum Jane! I want to see if she's, can she hear us out there? Here she comes. Don't worry, Sia. Got her. Let me see if I can speak to her. Get Jane Malachi, our own Jane. Hey, Jane, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Have you had a good week?
Very good long weekend.
Oh, yes. You went up to Polokwane, huh? To Moria.
Yebo.
And was it insane? I mean, I saw the pictures. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of
not
people.
Not thousand million people.
Sure. So yeah. Where does everybody What are the toilet facilities? Just out of interest.
Oh my God, don't even ask about that, Babaji.
Do people do boskak? Do they?
No, Babaji, we know how to take off ourselves. Actually, we're using a pit toilet.
Okay.
But because we know...
I've always wondered. You see all those people, you're like, where are they going to the loo?
Yeah, but we don't just pee wherever you want to pee. There's people who control people. There's toilet. There's where people, they put the pampers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you want to go to the toilet, there's a bucket toilet. We're using a bucket toilet. Yeah, there's no the toilet that you can say, I can flush and do everything. Yeah.
All right, but that's not the main reason that I wanted to bring this up. So first of all, you got up there when there were no problems on the road. Because you've told me before that it's horrible and you see terrible things and accidents and delays and it takes hours to get back or to get there. How was it this year?
The accident that I saw is only one accident, the one, the Iveco and the truck that was burned on Mukopan Road. That was the scary accident. The one that the one that people 10 people died.
Oh no!
Yeah, it was scary.
And you drove past it?
Yeah, I was so scared because when I passed, I saw those the police thing. They put this in that they, what do you call it, the thing that they wrote the scene is to show that the people died.
Oh, like tape.
Yeah, the tape.
The police
when I
tape.
Saw that tape, after 5 minutes, I saw the truck and the Iveco bent. Yeah, it was the people on the floor.
Oh, my God. So you must have got there just after it happened.
You know, I was so scared. I wanted to tell the taxi driver, please, can you just drop me here and I'll just walk. Yeah, and the traffic was so bad.
Alex, they told us in the news this morning that Pick It Up has cleaned up all the rubbish that's been left there. So it's tidy now?
Yeah.
It's back to normal.
Yeah, back to normal. We'll see next week when the vote's on. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen?
Yeah. Did this change your vote in any way? You don't have to tell us who you're voting for.
It's not a secret anymore because I'm not going to vote for DA after what they have done to us.
Who are you going to vote for?
Actually.
You can tell us. If you want to, you can tell us.
I said you don't have to. Then she goes, no, it's not a secret. Now she's talking.
It's not a secret anymore because these days you can say, what are you going to vote for? I can say, you know, because when I asked my mom at home, what are you going to vote for? She was like, ANC, obvious. Yeah. I was like, why? She said, ANC is giving us everything. I was like, yeah? ANC is not giving you anything. It's government who's giving you everything.
Yeah, but she obviously doesn't know the difference, and that's okay.
You see, all people, they don't understand.
Mm.
I think we should teach them that, you know what, ANC is just like something else, like EFF and anything.
Mm.
Mm.
So are you going to vote for one of the smaller parties?
ACDP.
She's going to keep it secret.
No.
Woman
she's
Forward.
Not gonna, she's not going to tell us.
No, I'm going to vote for EFF.
Are you?
Yeah.
Daughter of the soil.
Land.
Are waiting you? For the son of the soil.
Land.
I think a lot of people will in this election.
Yeah, especially this year when I saw in Limpopo, because last year in Limpopo I saw people, they've been doing campus, they've been saying we will vote for ANC, but this year, I'm telling you, Babaji, we're going away with Malema.
Oh my God.
Well, the thing is, a lot of all people right. say land, and some rightfully you ask, what will you do with the land? Alice Jane knows what she's going to do with the land because she just built a house.
Let me tell you something. I know exactly about the land because at the rural area, we still have those farms that those people, they took away from us. When we're talking about the land, we want those farms back from us.
So what would you farm?
Are you going to go and farm?
I don't see you in that get-up and that red lipstick farming.
Suddenly I see Jane going and tilling the soil. Oh, yeah, sure. But who's going to get you those 10 cattle? Who's paying for them?
Papa G.
There we go.
All right,
oh, but last important question.
This is where the idea falls apart.
The last important question. You know, since you went to church over the long weekend, did you keep us all in your prayers?
Did
you pray for us?
Oh, thank you. Good. I appreciate that.
I think sometimes when we pray and say we're praying for rain, my heart is so broken to see KZN because when we pray in our church, we say we're praying for rain. And we pray for more rain and look at that rain.
And look what you did.
Oh, that's all you then.
Yeah, you sent
it's
the
your
floods.
Fault. So you have to be specific with your prayers.
I think we have to say we're praying for a limit rain.
Yeah, not too much. Yeah.
Not too much.
All right, thanks, Jane. All right, there we go. There's a full update for you.
What did you learn this morning?
Everything.
It's Alice Jane's fault that the KZN is flooded.
All right, George Meany's here. How's it, George?
How you doing, Gareth?
Lovely. How are you? This
I'm
long
good.
Weekend, well, the long weekend of Easter weekend, did you go away?
Yes, went to Misty Mountains.
Where is that? Is that in Lord of the Rings?
It felt like Lord of the Rings.
It sounds like Lord of the Rings. Where is that?
It's in just above Lower Sabi in the mountains in what was
Mpumalanga,
Yeah, Mpumalanga, old northern Transvaal, I think. And it was properly misty. It was
amazing.
It was nice and clear in the day, and then at around 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, the mist rolled in.
I think Ben was in that area a couple of weeks ago. Are you doing anything this weekend?
Just watching the Grand Prix.
Good. Where is the Grand Prix this weekend?
It's in Azerbaijan.
You're joking. Does anyone know where that is on a map?
Somewhere in the east. Northeast.
All right. George is here. We're talking about cars and the lifestyle around motoring. What have we got on the agenda?
Well, I'm sure you saw that viral video that was going around about the hot cross buns.
Yes, and that the Metro Police, they would do a breathalyzer straight after you'd eaten one, and it came out that you're well over the limit.
Yes. So if you had eaten a hot cross bun or two, it would show that you were 0.21 milligrams of alcohol per 1,000 liters or deciliters of blood, which then puts you over the legal limit. Mm-hmm. So
let's just remember that alcohol is a natural ingredient of so much food, because a lot of food, there's fermentation that takes place, and the result of fermentation is alcohol. So you're going to have a little bit of that in meat, even in dairy products, in certain kinds of flour and yeast and those kinds of things.
You're absolutely right. So the trouble with hot cross buns is that it's high in raisins and those things contain sugars and stuff that can ferment, and then yeast.
Yep.
Yeast can also cause your breathalyzer to overread. There's lots of foods, like you say.
And by the way, you also, if you spray that like a breath spray?
Yes, it's got ethanol.
Big time.
Yeah.
So that then will that will make you go right over the limit. So don't do ethanol. That if you're coming up to a roadblock.
Yes, don't think that rinsing your mouth with Listerine is going to help. It's probably not going to help.
Worse.
It'll make it much worse. Yeah. Much worse. But these breathalyzers, especially the one that was used in a video called the Draeger model, is being used for evidential breathalyzer testing and is not reliable. And, the only reliable thing is a machine that is quite large and not the size of the palm of your hand.
Right.
That can measure the breath alcohol accurately. These ones that are just the size of the palm of your hand actually can't measure the breath alcohol properly. And so I think that the only solution is the traditional blood test. Use the breathalyzer as an indicator. Mm-hmm. And then if the person is over the limit, take them for a blood test.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Next Friday, I'll bring in – I've got a little machine that also does a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
And we'll all try it. We'll have a hot cross bun or something. And we'll
I think
see
it's a good
goes.
Idea.
Let's do it.
I think it's a good
idea.
Sia,
will you remind me? I'll bring that breath alcohol testing kit when I come in next week. All right.
Then a Range Rover has – brought into South Africa, or should I say it's only available in South Africa for now, is the Springbok Edition, and is a one-of-a-kind colored car in the Springbok colors.
It's revolting.
It's, British Racing Green is green, but this is a blue-green, which is the official Springbok colors.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, is anybody such a big Springbok supporter anymore? You know, it used to be
That's
a
good
thing,
point.
Right?
Yes.
It used to be a thing. Like, South Africans were rugby mad and football mad and cricket mad. And like, now, you have to dig under a pile of rocks to find a proper Springbok supporter. Remember how people used to wear the Springbok jersey every Friday?
I don't see Springbok jerseys anymore.
Nobody cares.
Nobody wears
Nobody's
them.
Interested. Sport in this country, they've been so dismal, and there's been so much politics around sport that I think people are just disinterested.
They are.
And they find the whole thing distasteful. So Land Rover, you're about 5 years too late with this idea?
I'll be interested to see how many of these sell.
Oh, they'll sell them. There's still a couple of people in Pretoria who are big enough fans.
Well, I mean, the target market seems to be high LSM. They're putting these colors on the 5-liter supercharged V8 version.
Right. There are always douchebags who go for this stuff, but they're the same kind of losers who have personalized plates.
Well, Jerry Roo, the CEO of SA Rugby, said that this project is the first of a kind for the Springboks, and I'm sure there will be many excited conversations amongst players.
What's that, Jerry?
What a
What an idiot. All right. Forgive me. I mean, would you buy one?
No.
No.
No, I don't like green cars, unfortunately.
Is that the only reason you wouldn't buy one?
I like white cars and black cars.
You know, I know that there are people who have their company logo on the car, which is fine. That's advertising your business. I know that there are people who like to have their own personalized plate with their name on it. So it helps people who, when you drive like an idiot, to shout at you with your name.
Yeah, well, they can also find you.
Yes, they can find you more easily. But there isn't a reason that you should be attention-seeking if you're not a Springbok, if you're not actually in the Springbok
team.
That's
a good point. They should actually give these cars to the Springboks to drive.
Yeah. If you're just an ordinary douche in, like, you know, Groenkloof in Pretoria, and you're driving around in a groen car because you think that you're a big Springbok supporter, and people are going to drive past thinking maybe you are in the Springbok team, I've got news for you. You're just an idiot.
Well, let's see. I'll try and find out how many of these green cars sell.
I'll find one. I'm telling you, I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'll take a picture of the oak inside. He's going to be a fat, overweight, 50-something-year-old man with no hair on his head. Watch.
Wearing a Springbok jersey, maybe.
Definitely.
Anyway, on to...
Oaks, aren't you jealous of my car? All right. Shame. Now that we've totally destroyed Land Rover's new marketing plan for 2019.
Well, Teslas are exploding in China. Uh-oh. I don't know if you saw that video.
It was one in a parking lot,
yes,
right?
Yes, in a parking lot.
So and, what happened, George?
So this Tesla was... nobody knows right now, actually. But the Tesla was standing in the parking lot, emitted a bit of smoke, and then burst into flames and took three cars with it. And it went wild on their social media called Weibo.
Yeah.
Which is a Twitter-like platform. And nobody knows what happened yet.
Wow.
But the interesting thing is that there's only been about 14 instances of these cars catching fire since 2013. I wonder if the person that owned this car didn't modify it in some way.
Yeah, you see, I was talking to Sia about this earlier because Ford had some problem with some of their cars that don't lock properly and they don't have the alarms don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of videos going around for that right now.
So Ford have recalled a bunch of them, and they've also said they will replace the alarms, or they'll put in an accessory alarm or whatever. So they're trying to solve the problem. But I said to Sia, you know, every factory in the world that makes anything is bound to occasionally make a few mistakes. There's going to be a dud. You look in families.
Yep.
Even in a family,
there's a dud.
There are three or four kids that are great, and then the fifth kid is a disaster. You know what I mean? There's out of your four grandparents, one of them might have been a drunk. You cannot get it right every time. And kudos to Ford and to all these car companies that do these recalls. They try to do the right thing. Nobody's forcing them at gunpoint to do it. Yeah. They aren't court orders being issued. They do it because they know it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
And I respect that. I think that's the proactive, honest, decent thing to do for your customers. And I think it's great. Most other companies, they don't do that stuff.
Exactly. So I think there was one company, Tylenol. If you remember I think it was arsenic and Tylenol.
Oh, wow. That's quite a big deal.
That's how the anti-tampering lid came about. I think it was Tylenol. Somebody stuck in arsenic or something into Tylenol. And they actually pulled every product off the shelves of retail stores.
Wow. What does Tylenol do?
I think it's headache tablet.
I'm taking Tylenol. Let me look that up.
I think it was Tylenol. I'm not entirely sure, but that's how the anti-tamper lid.
Headache and pain relief. You're right. Okay, so that's the anti-tamper lid. That's where that came from.
I think so. Yes.
Fantastic.
And so anyway, this is only 14 cars out of 500,000 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 14 is not acceptable to burst into flames, but if you ask yourself how many other cars manufacturers this has happened to. Not acceptable, but it's
0.00028.
Exactly.
Come on, percent. Yeah.
And who knows what the circumstance was there? I mean, I'm a Tesla fan, so I'm probably a little bit biased.
Yeah, you're allowed to be. And you know what? Tesla are doing stuff that the other car manufacturers don't like. Exactly. So whenever they can find a story like this, they love it.
Exactly.
Look at Tesla. They're all so stupid like us.
Then some Carfax. This is a fun part. Mm-hmm. The industries and some facts about people like Henry Ford.
Would you like some theme music for this?
Maybe.
Oh, that's not a
bad idea.
Let's give George some theme music and let's do fun car facts with George. All right. Let me find the appropriate music here. Mm. I don't know, George.
Yeah.
Maybe we go with something cheesy, perhaps?
Cheesy's good.
Want something cheesy? All right, here it is.
Ah, I love it.
All right, the first interesting car fact from George is...
Can I put on my fishnet stockings for this?
No, it's just...
Okay, never mind.
I was scared of the high heels.
Go on, what do we got, George?
Well, did you know that Henry Ford... in the Model T production, brought production down from 12 hours to just 30 minutes of a car.
The crowd are loving that one. Right.
Did you know that 75% of Rolls-Royce cars ever built are still on the road today?
Well, that's very impressive.
Which reinforces the brand's quality.
That's excellent.
Oh.
Okay, but then people aren't going to just throw those away, aren't they?
No, exactly. No, I mean, you're paying enough for that
very
stuff.
Good. All right, what do you think of that, audience? They love it. All right, very good. What else?
Carl Benz did not invent the car.
Oh.
What he did was effectively file a birth certificate of the car in the form of a patent. But he did not actually invent the car. The car was an amalgamation of many inventions that finally combined into the first self-propelled vehicle being built by Nicholas Joseph Cugno. C-U-G-N-O-T.
We don't know when he's driving a Cugno, are they?
Yeah, in 1769 and was powered by steam.
Well, no one wants a steam-powered car either, Mr. Cugno, so I'm sorry if you think that you deserve a place in the footnote of history, but it's a Mr. Benz that we remember.
In Mr. Benz, 49 years later, patented the gas engine.
Good for Mr. Benz. They're still on the road, and they win Grand Prix.
They do too. And then cars spend 95% of their lives parked.
Yeah, this is exactly why lift sharing and ride sharing schemes are the way of the future. And that automated cars that belong to everybody are the way to go. Because ultimately, we pay for it to sit there.
It just sits there. 95%
of
your car's life.
This is for the average person.
I think I spend a bit more time than the average person in my car. I drive quite a lot. And I still am bored.
Well, I mean, do you think that's then... 90%?
Maybe 90.
85?
But it's
still freaking high.
Yeah, it's very high.
Wow. Still high.
And you think that the purpose you bought that thing for is to transport you around.
Exactly.
And then it's sitting there. Drives me crazy. There's zero efficiency in
that. The model needs to change. Then the inventor of the cruise control was blind.
No. Yeah, it's all right. Calm down.
How's that a thing?
He was blind?
He was blind. His name was Ralph Teeter. And he was a prolific inventor despite being blind from the age of 5.
Right.
His first job was after graduating, his first job with a degree in mechanical engineering was on steam turbine rotors used in the Navy torpedo boat destroyers.
Good
that was
Lord.
His first job.
All right. Well, then you know what? It's probably just as well he was the inventor, because if you've done stuff in a time of war, you might have capabilities in a time of peace that might be even more handy.
And then what drove him to invent the cruise control was the speeding up and slowing down of cars.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You don't say, huh?
He didn't like the speeding up Garrett. And slowing down all the time. You know when you're driving a car and you pull up to the car in front of you and then you slow down. You get these kangaroos.
Well, the best time to have cruise control, and I don't have it in my current car, but in one of the ones I had before, is when you're taking a long drive down to the coast or whatever.
Yes.
You've got those long open roads. Maybe you're in the Karoo on your way to Cape Town or on the way back.
It's useful.
Yeah.
It's useful. I think the most useful iteration of cruise control is adaptive cruise control.
How does that work and what is the difference?
So it uses LiDAR and cameras to detect the car in front of you and then it keeps its following distance.
That's very good. That's very good.
Especially,
and of course they're useful for avoiding speeding fines and speeding traps, because if you set your cruise control at 100, for example, you're not going to get caught in any traps that are 100, 120.
Exactly. But most people, for some reason, set their cruise control to 129 kilometers per hour.
Aye. That's stupid, because then you're going to be in trouble.
You're going to be in trouble. Right. You're in trouble. I don't know why.
Because they bust you for anything over like 125-ish is where they start. And then if you go over 160, as I learned once, they just arrest you straight away.
Yeah,
if you're going at over 160, you're in big, big shit.
Not if you're wearing fishnets. Not good.
So I was stopped the other day in a one of those roadblocks where they're checking your fines.
Oh, yes.
And luckily for me, I've got my card. Driver's license is still valid. My car license is renewed. Last year I paid all my fines, so I was okay. There was like a 250 Rand fine on some speeding camera somewhere. But, you know, with Arto coming in, a lot of people worried about this.
Yeah, because you can get demerits.
Right. And then you might have your license taken
away. I got my license the other day after, you know, the new electronic booking system the license department has. So I got the appointment in December, went and applied for my license, still stood in a queue. And then kept checking, is my license there? Is it there? Is it there? And it wasn't there. It only arrived last week from December. I had to drive around with a temporary license until last week. And then when I walked in there, the queue for what was supposedly an electronic booking system was, if you've been to the Randburg one, second floor, all the way down the corridor, down the stairs, down that corridor, out the building.
Oh, the crowd isn't liking that one.
That is how long that queue was.
Well, everybody says, you know what we need in our world is more government. That's what you get for more government.
How long did he spend there?
Oh, to fetch it. Yeah. About 10 minutes. It was there. Okay. So that well,
but the queue itself.
The queue to apply was the one that was so long. Anyway.
Is there a better way to do that? I know for Home Affairs have got this great thing where you go into a bank and you can get your passport renewed, and you know, all the visa places, you can send someone to go and get that stuff done for you. Isn't there a way to do it with driver's licenses?
Well, I mean, I don't know whether it exists anymore, but years ago, I went to reapply for my driver's license at an optometrist. I don't know whether that still exists. There was an optometrist in Fort Wayne.
If that does exist, I'm in.
I'm pretty sure years ago
I'd rather pay an optometrist 5,000 Rand than have to stand in a queue.
That queue was long. Those people were there till the next morning.
Shame.
Anyway, another fun car fact. A single car is made up of more than 30,000 parts.
Wow, okay.
And in 1995, the life expectancy of the average car was 8.4 years. Now it's 11.
So it's got better because people tend to have the idea that it's going the other way.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Most people go, well, cars are disposable now, and you know, there's so many things that cost so much less in cars now. So in the old days, they were made of iron and steel, and they lasted longer. That's bullshit.
No, it's more sophisticated and more refined now.
Okay.
So it lasts longer. So so that's a good thing. Then the first car accident. When do you think that happened?
Was the first car invented?
The first car invented was 1790. Well, the steam powered one was 1769.
I say the same year.
The same year.
I'm giving it like 3 months.
Definitely.
Max. Yeah.
No. So it was actually around the time of Mr. Benz's patent, which first car accident happened in 1891.
Wow, look at us, human beings.
That's not bad.
1891.
We aren't too... You know, with the first steam-powered car, maybe there weren't any to crash into.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, there's no other car to... No, but you can crash into a tree, something like
Didn't
that.
A lot of those first steam-powered cars, though, they operated on rails.
Where the trams
they were like trains. So in other words, they didn't go off-road, so to speak.
So accidents were less likely.
Yeah, because what are you going to bump into? Something else on the rails. Clear those out of the way first.
Well, here's another interesting fact inside that one, and that is the top speed of these cars were 5 miles per hour.
That's so fast.
About 10 kilometers per hour.
The fastest human, I think Usain Bolt can run at like 14 kilometers an hour. Yeah.
But imagine how thrilling that was.
Being 5 k's an hour.
What, when Usain Bolt comes running past you?
So yeah, go and get in your car now.
Stockings.
I dare you to even try to drive at 5 kilometers an hour through the parking lot. Go and try it. It'll be the most boring thing you've ever done. And it'll be hard because your car can't go that slow.
It's incredibly slow. You can walk faster. Then lastly, the car radio was nearly banned. So this is quite an interesting one because there are evergreen reasons people want to regulate and ban things in the world.
Of course.
And in this case, when the car radio was first invented, some states in America wanted to ban them as it could have distracted drivers and cause accidents. Now, nearly 100 years later, it isn't the radio that is distracting cars, but people, but telephones.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to ban telephones from cars. Well, there are no telephones in cars. Oh, well, we'll find a way to ban it anyway. This is the problem with people who want to ban things. They don't know what the future is going to hold.
Exactly.
They ban something and then within days of their ban.
I'm going to ban podcasts in cars. Well, how are you going
to
do that?
Yeah, exactly. Good luck to you. Ban YouTube. Huh? Ban Google. Ban Facebook. Go ahead. Let's see how well you do. Be like North Korea in no time. All right, George.
Thank you, Gareth.
Good stuff. That was a bumper edition this morning.
A bumper edition.
It's always nice to see you, George. We'll see you in a week's time. I'll bring that breathalyzer in and we'll try out some hot cross buns.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. That's all we got time for this morning. We shall see you on Monday.
Happy
it's a normal weekend.
Right.
This is CliffCentral.com.